On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I have Ricky from Foreign Exchange joining us to talk about everything he's got brewing, the projects he's got coming up, and how he's dealing with the pandemic. All that and more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chalusky.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And this is our second recording this week. Second guess. We're doing good. We got Ricky from Foreign Exchange joining us. How's it going?
Very good. Thanks for having me. Second one this week, though. You guys have been busy.
I know, yeah. Ran on with Jesse talking about The Last Dance and everything that Corridor is up to and those guys with that project. So, yeah, it's a good time.
I'm a big fan of Corridor as well.
So what's your getting into things, what's your title, role, what are you with Foreign Exchange? Are you everything?
pretty much everything. I wear a lot of hats. I've got two guys that I work with that kind of help take a lot of the load off. But in short, I am the founder, owner. I'm the brewing director, delivery guy, designer. So, yeah, pretty much everything. I've got BJ, my buddy BJ, who helps me with sales and distribution and marketing and a little bit of marketing. I wear a lot of the hats around here.
Nice. All right. Well, I don't think this would be a beer podcast if we don't talk about the beers we're drinking here. I wasn't able to get any Foreign Exchange, but I do have some Hopewell. I got their first pills. They deliver, you know, they're not too far from my place here. So tasty pilsner from them. So digging on that right now.
The last time I did one of these, I was actually drinking a Hopewell myself. But today I've got Put a Light On from my buddy Eric Flores over at Whiskey Hill. It's a crusher, super juicy, fruity, like really, really solid first canned offering, I should say. He's brewed a couple other beers there, which have also been fantastic. But good stuff.
Yeah, Nick was just down there, like in that whole like new Whiskey Hill, and we learned why it is Whiskey Hills.
The artist formerly known as Mist and Legends and Urban Legends, I forget the order, but both of those, now they're Whiskey Hill. And yeah, I've never in my life seen that many people in that joint since Eric took over.
Yeah, it's been fun. I know John was able to fill that place a little bit during his tenure. With Eric, it was just a whole different crowd. It was a completely different crowd, not only in terms of quantity of people that were there, but also just new faces too. Like faces that, and I've been going there for a few years now. I've known several of the brewers there over the years. And it was just completely different crowd. A lot more beer geeks as opposed to like, you know, the mechanics that kind of work around the area that just are stopping in for a beer. Guys who chase a lot of the limited stuff, you know, were the guys that kind of popped up for the Eric welcome party. So, it's bringing some new faces to Westmont, which is nice.
Yeah, for sure. I'm drinking the, Airing of Grievances. It's a Belgian stout from the good folks at Unani.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful Niles, Illinois.
Is that from stash you previously had, or is that like new?
No, you find
yourself there often.
It's true, man. This is a new pickup. I haven't been to the new space yet with the barbecue and all that jazz. I'm looking forward to getting over there. So.
Well, so our experience with Foreign Exchange really is from Sean Curry, And then Nick recently, he picked up some cans. I forget if we drank them or we just talked about that.
I think we might have posted them to our IG. Okay. I think it was one of those. It's one of the sleeper hits of the year so far, man, is Kitty Wampus. I think it's this universally excited kind of nerd offering, right, that everyone knows about and everyone's excited about when they pick it up. But I don't know, from my standpoint, like, I knew nothing about the crew. I happened to be on a lunch break from my day job, and my buddy picks it up. And then the guy we were with, he also picked it up. So I'm like, I didn't want to be a follower, so I just blew it off. But then I looked you guys up, and I'm like, oh, shit. And then I started seeing, like, all these beer groups buzzing about it. So now I went back afterwards and got a few cans. So it's been fun, man. It's been fun, like, discovering it that way. Like, we don't get too many experiences like that anymore, right? I mean, where it's just, like, everyone's all excited about someone we haven't heard about. So.
Yeah, I think I had the benefit of, like, having friends who are active in the beer communities who – you know, I've been very active myself in the beer community for, you know, almost 10 years now. When I started homebrewing, you know, I was under a lot of the releases, you know, waiting in the lines, going to a lot of the bottle shares. I would initially, you know, I'd bring some big bottles, but then I would also bring some of my homebrews, sneak those in. And then, like, as things kind of, you know, over the years, as the years passed, people just kind of were just like, they didn't care what I brought as long as I brought my homebrew. Like, that's what they wanted to drink. Like, they didn't care about the other bottles. So, you know, kind of there was an organic, I guess, buzz that kind of built up over the years. So when I first, Oswego Brewing Company gave me the opportunity to brew one of my stout recipes over there, the triple chocolate cupcake. You know, that sold out in the same day, had some pretty good buzz.
How long ago was this, Ricky?
That was last summer, about a year ago, actually. In June, I want to say it was June of last year. But, yeah, and so that kind of was a proving ground, I guess, for me on a large scale. And like I said, there was just... Everyone kind of knew who I was. Maybe they didn't know about it, but they had heard me. So obviously when we dropped the first set of Kitty Wampus cans, people saw the name. They knew who I was. They didn't know much about it. They gave it a shot. And I'm happy to say that it seems like it exceeded expectations. And the response from that and from the releases after that have, you know, I'm still kind of at a loss for words. Like, you know, you know, you go from homebrewing to putting this out and getting the kind of like love and reaction that I've gotten from Chicago, it's just unreal. It's, you know, it's more than I could have ever imagined. And I'm happy to be doing something I love doing and happy that it makes other people happy too.
Yeah, the people have responded, man. And then I think what really caught my attention was that, so it's an imperial porter, right? With like coffee and maybe vanilla and like maybe milk sugar, right? Yeah. Yep. And it's but it was really well balanced and it looked really good, like, you know, because we were in the era of all these adjunct stouts and even some IPAs, and they're just cloyingly over the top with all this sweetness, and to have something that was, you know, it, approaching decadence but not overly sweet was exciting, and then and then well balanced too. So you're so you started at Oswego, and then. How did the relationship with Church Street start? Like, how did that transition happen?
So I never actually brewed at Oswego. Like I said, that was just more like they had noticed me. You know, when they first opened up, I think I'd commented on their Facebook. I'm like, hey, I live like a mile from the brewery. Like, we should do a collaboration sometime. And they didn't know who I was. They didn't, you know, they kind of didn't say anything. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, some buzz around my name came up, and then that's when they reached out and like, hey, if you want to do a collab sometime, you know, we're game. And that's when I'm like, all right, let's do this. Church Street basically came up because I don't have my own brew house. I don't have a space of my own. There's a handful of breweries in the Chicagoland area that offer contract brewing, which is essentially you rent from Innerspace, you rent their equipment, and you get to brew your own beer. And it's technically a Church Street product, but it's obviously got my name on it. You know, on paper, legally, it's a Church Street beer. But yeah, and that's how a lot of you know, like Maplewood doesn't necessarily brew. You know, their the IPAs that you see on store shelves, a lot of them are brewed out of, you know, Great Central or Energy City, who is a, you know, good friend of mine. You know, he brews out of Church Street as well. He's in the tanks right next to mine.
Oh, really?
But he still also brews like one barrel, like, you know, pilot batches out of his own brewery up in Geneva. So, or Batavia, I should say. So, yeah, it's basically like a little incubator where, you know, they obviously brew some amazing lagers and pilsners and really solid beers on their own, but they also have extra tank space that they run out to guys like me to do what we want to do. And I'm very fortunate for that. And as far as why I chose them out of all the other options in the Chicago area, just convenience, really. Convenience. And like I said, one of my buddies, Dave Files from Energy City, is brewing out of there. So kind of just followed his lead, I guess.
Yeah, we should get him on. We've met up with him a couple times at Great Central, yep. And, you know, gotten the beer and, you know, always love their stuff. If you go to Church Street currently, or when it was open, can you get your beer and their beer on tap there? Like, last time I was there, it was just Church Street stuff, and that was years ago.
Not at the moment, not right now. Right now, everything that we're producing, just because of how young we are, I'm trying to obviously bankroll my own place at some point. So right now, everything we're brewing is going in 100% into packaging, and it's going right out the door. I know that Energy City does have an agreement with them set up to where they occasionally tap his beers, and I know that occasionally you can buy his 4-packs out of their cooler. So there is an arrangement there with them, but with us as of right now, everything's going right in the package and going out the door.
Okay.
All right. Now, what's been the release schedule so far of the beers that you've come out with?
Right now we're doing on average about 2 beers a month, like 1 to 2 beers a month. We're shooting for 2 beers a month. And kind of alternating between IPAs, milkshake IPAs, and then the Imperial Porters. I'm brewing my first stout in a couple weeks. And then I've got a sour IPA that I'm brewing next week in collaboration with Firehop Brewworks, which is a home brewer, actually. He had one of the bigger lines at the Crafted Small Batch Fest. He recently did a collaboration with Roaring Table up in Lake Zurich, which is fantastic. Nice. So, I want to do a sour IPA of my own. He does some awesome sour IPAs. Okay, let's put our heads together. Let's do something cool. So that's being brewed next week. But like I said, my first big stout is after that.
Yeah. Has your release schedule changed at all with the pandemic and everyone at home, or are you pretty much still like about the same? Like, people are still chasing your beer, looking for it. People are asking.
It's about the same. I mean, people are buying a lot of beer right now. It's kind of mind-blowing. And I was just mentioning this to my friends yesterday, you know, just logging onto Facebook. And, you know, because I'm in the beer group so often, that's the first thing that pops up in my feed. So first thing I see when I log on to Facebook, and I see, like, people buying, you know, today's haul. And it's, like, $250 worth of mostly IPAs. I'm like, damn, like, people are spending money on beer right now. And obviously, that's not sustainable in the long run.
It's essential, man. It's essential.
I mean, yeah. I don't see that being sustainable in the long run. But, I mean, as a result, though, I mean, I've been very fortunate to also, you know, be on the receiving end of that, to where my beers are selling out pretty quickly. And, you know, we're actually right now, we've had to, like, cut orders from certain like retailers because we don't have enough beer.
That's awesome to have.
Having 5 or 6 commercial beers under my belt at Church Street, like, it's unreal, and I still can't process that. We're just trying to keep up. We're trying to crank out as much beer as we can, obviously without overextending ourselves, and obviously trying to make the best beer we can.
Yeah, it does seem like people are buying a lot more beer. Like, you see Mike Zoller on Instagram. That guy always was posting beer, but he's even posting more. And you got to get like a case delivered. It's like, I don't know, a case is a lot for me to just pound through at my house solo.
I'm the same way. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have, whenever I get something new canned up, I'll go and drop off cans with a bunch of like other brewer buddies, and I'll swing by their breweries and drop off some cans for them to try and give me feedback. And I usually leave home with a bunch of their beer too. And like, honestly, I sit here drinking 4 or 5 month old IPAs because I can't get through. I don't drink that much beer. Like I drink maybe one can a night, maybe at most. So, yeah, man, I don't know how some of these people get through as much as they do, but more power to you guys.
Nick, not having that problem with your whiskey as you're sipping on there.
I don't want to talk about it, man. Like, I don't even post about it. It's kind of like, you know, it's an issue, you know, if, to be frank.
I've been alternating between beer and then bourbon lately. I don't know why. I've been in a bourbon mood lately.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, and then they're kind of, you know, like Michael Jackson, the great beer writer. I mean, he wrote just as many whiskey books as he did beer books, right? We love the barrels. We love the story. We love the connection between the two. It's absolutely. It's inevitable, right, at some point, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean,
it's a phenomenon, man, the way those suburbs stick together, man. I mean, oh, shit, are you there?
Oh, yeah, you're.
I mean, me and Brad talk about this all the time. Like, you kind of admire the way, like, I mean, the beer's good, right? But then you're based in a suburb, and then, like, you name a suburb like Zurich that you influenced by, or you know, and then, like, the guys at Energy City. Like, suburbs stick together, and, like, the suburb movement, there's probably just as many suburban breweries as there are city breweries, and it's just kind of cool to experience, man. It's fun. It's a fun thing.
Seriously, whenever I go over to friends' houses, you know, in different cities, you know, obviously before when we were going out, I would pull up, like, hey, if we didn't know what we were going to do, we didn't have any concrete plans, I just pull up, oh, let's see if there's any, like, cool tap rooms in the area. You just search, like, brewery, and, like, it just blows my mind. Like, one of my best friends lives in Oak Park, for example, and there's two breweries within walking distance, like, of, like, downtown Oak Park. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't even know these exist. I've never heard of these places, like. And it makes me wonder, like, how many other unknown breweries are there that I've never heard of that I need to check out, you know? Like, it's crazy. Once you, and, like, it's funny because we're, the sour IPA that I'm brewing next week kind of alludes to the amount of breweries that, it's kind of a playful jab to the amount of breweries that are in Illinois. It's called Player 8195 has entered the, 8,195 has entered the game. So
that's a bit of beer.
Yeah. yeah. Kind of alluding to how many breweries there are and how, you know, there's new ones popping up every day. And, I mean, one of my, John from, formerly of Whiskey Hill just announced, I think yesterday that, you know, he's opening up a new brewery and like there's new ones popping up, left and right. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time. And obviously, I mean, you guys are familiar with the quality of beer we get here in Chicago. We're spoiled, man. We have it good here.
Yeah, that's what, as we are, month two in this pandemic, and we've seen, you know, a couple bite the dust now, but like you said, new ones are coming up, and we're just spoiled, and I don't want that quality to go away, so, yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, quality is always going to, I guess, lead the pack so far. There's very few, I can't think of any breweries that like are putting out like amazing beer that are being slept on, I guess. Afterthought is like the only one that maybe could possibly fall under that description. But
people go nuts at Phobab and at Beer in the Glass. People go nuts for Afterthought stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how that translates to like the store, but at Fest, there's a buzz.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I feel like if the quality's there, I think most breweries will be all right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right now it seems like kind of Chicago's kind of, you know, kind of banded together and is kind of lifting all the, you know, lifting their local breweries up high, making sure that, you know, they're supporting them, you know, with growler or crawler sales. I mean, people are getting breweries are getting real creative right now with draft offerings. I mean, right now it seems like there's a lot of support for breweries right now, and Well, I don't have the overhead of having my own facility and having a tap room or anything right now. I can definitely feel, and for the guys that do, and you know, like I said, I want them to succeed. I want everyone to do well, and on their behalf, I'm sure that, you know, I know that we're all thankful for all the support we get right now.
Yeah, like I don't need a case of beer all the time, but I continue to order them to make sure like they will get drank at some point, or so to help everyone out. But so how'd you make that jump from, or why, what made you make that jump from homebrewer to your own place, and then how'd the name come about?
The name came about, I mean, there's a long story. It kind of ties, I used to do music stuff back, like years ago. And the first like album that I put out, it was like remixes, mashups, stuff like that. The first album I put out was called Foreign Exchange, but so I kind of tied that, my previous hobby, into this current hobby. But in addition to that too, there's more to it that actually relates to the beer itself. You know, fermentation is an exchange of sugars to alcohol. And when I first started homebrewing, that was a foreign concept to me. So foreign exchange, like I said, has an actual relevant meaning to brewing and fermentation, but also ties into, you know, my previous hobby. So it's got kind of a little bit of double meaning. Mm-hmm. With regards to making the jump, though, I mean, it really came down to, like I said, initially, the big desire to just put out more beer is just because I would constantly, like, I couldn't post anything on social media about, like, one of my beers that I brewed that here at home that I was excited about, because I would just get flooded with PMs, like, hey, how can I get it? And I'm like, well, there's, like, 45 bottles of it in existence, like, can't really, like, if I would take them to releases, and like you have to come to like the beer release, so I'll be at the, you know, the Moore release this weekend, you know I'll bring some bottles to share in line, just come see me, you know. And a lot of it was just like wanting to, you know, I felt bad, and you know, I love the beer that I brew, and I want to get it into the people who want its hands. So making that leap into commercial brewing was my way of kind of just getting, you know, fulfilling everyone that's been asking me for beer for year, for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, getting beer into their hands finally. And then, like I mentioned earlier, the story about Oswego Brewing, having them reach out to me and you know, wanting to do a collaboration. And that was like, you know, that was kind of dipping my toes in the water. And then when I showed up at the brewery at 8 a.m. and see there's, you know, 150 plus people in line for my beer, that's when I was like, all right, maybe there's something here. Like, maybe I could do more. and that's when, and BJ, who's a partner at, Oswego Brewing, that's when, like, you know, he was like, hey, you know, I'll be willing to help you get this off the ground. I'll help you with sales, you know, and connect you to the right people. And, you know, obviously he has the experience with, you know, opening Oswego that, you know, he was able to help me kind of get off the ground, get Foreign Exchange off the ground from, well, out of this basement to stores. And I guess the rest is kind of history.
I feel like your story is something like many breweries like that are currently operating would love to have. Like, can you like pinpoint something that was like your it thing that people were like, the beer is excellent, but like, was it something that you were offering that wasn't there? Or like, I don't know. It's crazy that just some things just like pop or something else doesn't. I don't know. You've never like figured it out, right?
I mean, there's nothing that I specifically like planned. My whole philosophy has just been, I want to brew beer that I want to drink. And maybe that's what it is too. Like, you know, here's the thing, like, for the longest time, like, anytime I refer to the 2%, I'm referring to, like, the, you know, guys like us, the 2% of beer drinkers, the guys who are the most vocal, the guys who hype things up, and, like, the 2%, you know, for the longest time, that drove a lot of the hype, and there was a lot, the whole beer thing was very hype-driven, and, like, there'd be great beers out there that are unattainable. Like, my barley wine, for example, which I can't brew right now because I can't afford to brew an entire batch of beer and set it in barrels for a week, for a year plus. But when I can, but just use that as an example, though. Like my barley wine is my attempt to brew like some of the super sought after barley wines that I can't get my hands on. I've tasted them before, though, so I can kind of like dissect it just off of taste, mm-hmm. and like I can try to brew something similar. And same thing goes with my Imperial Stouts, too. Like, there's beers that, like, you know, like Kittywampus Brunch, for example, is inspired by, like, you know, the Morin Delights out there. And, like, it's a great beer, but, like, the average person can't get that. The average person, and, like, and here's the thing. Toppling Goliath has the capability to brew that as often as they want. But, again, it's very hype-driven. You know, they want to be able to charge whatever they charge for it. But I'm like, what if I could bring that to the masses? What if I can bring a similar flavor profile or like that type of experience in cans that you can go buy at your store right now? Like I can tell you a couple stores where Kittywampus Brunch is still on shelves. And like two things happen. One, everyone's happy. Everyone's happy because they get a beer that is like, it sets itself apart. But on top of that too, if the 98%, the guys who maybe don't chase beer, who just happen to walk into a liquor store and see some cute cats on the label, and like, oh, that's cute, I'm gonna pick that up, and that blow their mind. Sure, like guys like you and I have already had that flavor profile before, but to the guys who've never had a Morin Delight in their life or don't even know what that is, if it's similar to that, that makes me look like a rock star because I brought that to the people. So it kind of comes,
what they want.
It comes down to, like I said, brewing the beer that I would want to drink myself, that I would like to be able to walk into a store without having to jump through hoops, to get, and on top of that too, like, I've been very active in the craft beer community, and, I feel like that also has helped a little bit. I'm very active in the groups. I go to a lot of releases, you know, I'm a little bit of a social butterfly when it comes to those types of things. And as a result, like, I've made some good friends, and the good friends I have are pretty vocal about stuff. So,
is the beer you want to drink, like, you hear that from a lot of brewers, and they're drinking, you know, High Life, and they're like, oh, I want a Pilsner, or I want an adjunct lager that, you know, is local.
Sure.
But you're not doing that. See, like, you're brewing the beers you want, but also that you know the people want. Like, I feel like there's a different thought there.
There's definitely a balance, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's definitely a balance. My Pilsner is one of my favorite beers I've ever brewed. And when I have the opportunity to brew that, when I have my own brew house that's where I'm not putting out 30-barrel batches, the Pilsner is going to be one of my first beers. But selling 30 barrels of Pilsner is, unless you're like phase three, selling 30 barrels of Pilsner is a little tricky. So, So right now from the contract brewing scenario or standpoint, I'm brewing beers that I know are going to sell. So like, I'm not drinking Kittywampus every day. You know, that's a big beer. I'm not drinking Kittywampus every day. I am drinking beers like, you know, like I said, put a light on from Whiskey Hill. And I've got a double IPA in the tanks right now that is going to be coming out in a couple weeks. It's finding the balance between like brewing the caliber of beer that I want to be able to drink, but also bring what I know is going to sell. You know, I don't have a space. I don't have a brewery to where if product doesn't move immediately, where it can sit, you know, if it sits somewhere, I'm probably going to be paying storage for it. So, just like I said, it's about finding that balance of brewing beer that'll sell and also brewing beer that, you know, of a certain quality that I would want to drink myself.
Sure, man. And shout out to Oak Trail Spirits and all those stores that pick up projects like your project, because it's a fun find for people that are going in, you know.
And honestly, a lot of that I can credit to, like I said, BJ. He's very, you know, he has a good relationship with a lot of beer buyers and a lot of stores like Oak Trail, And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to be in as many, I wouldn't have as many retail partners as I do. And everyone's been, and it's at the point now where they are excited when I announce, when they receive the order form in their email, they're excited about it. They, you know, we have a little comment form on the order form, and a lot of these partners will write in the, like, you know, about how excited they are, or like, can't wait to try it. You know, like the, it excites me when the actual stores are not just excited to carry, you know, the new hotness, like, but they're also genuinely excited themselves. That makes me feel good inside about what I'm doing.
Now, BJ, he's your partner on the project. Now, how did you meet him?
So he does my sales. He does my sales, and he does a pretty good chunk of the distribution as well. I've known him for a long time. I was actually a customer of his when I used to live in downtown Aurora. He owns a store in Oswego called BJ's Wine and Spirits, and I was a customer of his, you know, and like I said, I've been talking to him about my brewing, my home brewing, and like I said, he used to do the sales, and I want to say he did sales and marketing for Oswego Brewing Company. And I know he's a partner. I think he's a partner, I believe, as well. So when we first initially started talking about that, that's when I initially mentioned to him, like, hey, if you ever want to do a collaboration, let me know. And then, like, as time went on, I mean, we got to know each other. You know, I started building more and more buzz online. People would start posting my bottles. That's when, like, you know, him and Mark kind of got together. And like, hey, let's let this guy do a beer. Let's see how it goes. And that's kind of how it happened. And I know he's kind of stepped away from Oswego since then. He's basically been helping me out with regards to sales. He's not a partner, but he's like I said, he's helped me out with. He's basically one of my employees, I should say. But like I said, I would probably have quit by now if it wasn't for BJ and all the help. And like I said, and you know, whenever I get stressed out, he's the first guy to, like, you know, tell me, hey man, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Just give it, you know, this whole, you know, ride it out. You know, he kind of keeps me in check too. So, he's a good guy to have in my stable for sure.
Nice. Did you, like starting your own project, have you thought about joining or like, I guess becoming a head brewer at a brewery before you decided to like venture out on your own, or just kind of it worked out that way?
I actually was in talks with a couple breweries that offered me jobs early last year, late the year before that, I guess. So 2018, late 2018, early 2019. I was offered a brewer position at one brewery. I'm not going to name any names. At one brewery, I was offered a brewer position.
Yeah,
at one brewery. I was offered a brewer position at one brewery. I mean, here's the thing, like a brewer position is a full-time job, and I have a full-time job, and I have a mortgage to pay, I've got bills to pay. So basically here, like, the thing was, like, you know, this is what I'm making at my day job. If you can at least match this just so I can keep paying my mortgage, done. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, brewers usually more often than not don't get paid very much. So, that kind of fell through there. Another brewery did offer me, more than what I was looking for. It was a brewery in the city. Around the time that we were in talks with that, I was seriously considering it. But you know, two things were kind of keeping me from that. One, the thought of having to drive to Logan Square every day, sounds like a nightmare. The other thing too is like, that is kind of when I started getting into talks about why not just make foreign exchange a thing. And, as kind of things progressed, like, I kind of just opted to just run with, you know, be my own boss instead of working for somebody else. And I think I made the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing it on your own terms, man. That matters.
Yeah. yeah, being an owner instead of an employee is definitely the way to go.
Sometimes. Now, we talked about Kittywampus. I think that's the first beer I had from Foreign Exchange. What beers did we miss before the Foreign Exchange release?
What do you mean before the Foreign Exchange? Like,
was that your first beer?
The first commercial beer?
No. The Kittywampus. What beers came out before Kittywampus? I'm sorry.
Commercially?
Yeah.
That was the first, official Foreign Exchange commercial batch was the first Kittywampus. Okay. Before that, I had done the collaboration with Oswego Brewing Company. I did a collaboration with Justin Miller, who is Hop Butcher, back when he was over at the Ram in Schaumburg. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of time at the Ram in Schaumburg back in the day with Sean Burns and with Justin Miller. I love those guys to death. Both of those guys are really good friends. But the first official 100% Foreign Exchange collaboration or release was the initial Kittywampus. From there, it was Foreign Chemistry, which is like a East Coast, West Coast hybrid IPA. And then we went to Kittywampus Brunch, Small Cakes Peach, which kind of rekindled that collaboration from Triple Chocolate Cupcake with Small Cakes, the Aurora Cupcakery. And then we just did Kittywampus Brunch, which was the first variant of Kittywampus that was actually voted on by people. When the first Kittywampus came out, I took two kegs, and I brought them back here at home, and I blended. I aged one of them on hazelnuts, toasted hazelnuts, and the other one with maple. And I basically filled a bunch of swing top growlers and brought them to each and every in-store tasting that we did, just to kind of have a little bit of variety for people who maybe not have heard of me. And then later on, I went on my Facebook and I made a poll, like, hey, which one did you guys like the best? And maple edged out hazelnut, so brunch was born. But yeah, and then going forward right now, like I said, I've got a beer called Palette, which is going to be a series of milkshake IPAs, just basically real similar to what quite a few other people in our market are doing, rotating hops on a pretty solid milkshake IPA base, just to kind of explore what different hop combinations can achieve. I'm doing the sour IPA I discussed earlier with Tyson from Fire Hop Brew Works next week, and then I've got my first big Imperial Stout later this month, which I'm really excited for. Oh, and I've got I did a collaboration with Whiskey Hill, the Imperial Stout with them as well, that was brewed 2 weeks ago, and I think it's going to be ready pretty soon.
Are these, do you think some of these collaborations are, I guess they were already sort of picking up steam going into where we are now, but do you think that's more important now as to use your audience, use Whiskey Hill's audience to kind of just hey, come out, get this beer or go buy it, find it?
I mean, for me, I don't know. For me, I've always described myself as a bit of a lone wolf. Again, there's other breweries that love doing collaborations every week. Okay. I don't do I do collaborations with people that I'm friends with. Eric helped me out when I got when I filled barrels of Kittywampus Brunch. You know, Eric has the experience of prepping barrels for Bourbon County at Goose Island. So I reached out to him hey, could you maybe I'm used to 5, 10, 15 gallon barrels here at home. I'm like, hey, can you give me any pointers? You know, share some of your experience with Goose Island. What do I need to do to make sure that this beer can be as good as it can be coming out of these barrels? And, you know, I took the barrels over there. He steamed them for me, kind of gave me a bunch of pointers, gave me a crash course on commercial size barrel aging. And over the next few weeks, I just started hanging out there a bunch, just learning as much as I could from him. I mean, his knowledge is just invaluable. You can't pay for that. That's so just hanging around him and picking his brain. And then eventually we're I think that one of the times I was over there, we just pulled out a piece of paper and hey, we should do a stout. We started scribbling down ingredients and started scribbling down a recipe on a piece of paper. And, after it was all said, I'm like, hey, this looks pretty good. Let's let's do it. Let's do it next week. And it just kind of, that's kind of how it came to be. Like, it wasn't, I'm not trying to like play off of his audience. He's not, you know, he's not trying to, you know, play off of my audience. It's just like, you know, he's a good buddy. He helped me out, and I want to brew a beer with him. And that's kind of how it comes out to. And then with Tyson, I'm like forever grateful to Mark Wilson at Oswego Brewing for like letting me basically take the reins at his brewery. And you know, he brewed, he did a killer job scaling up my homebrew recipe and letting me kind of, you know, put my name out there to the masses through the collaboration with Oswego Brewing Company. And so going forward, I want to kind of pay that forward to other homebrewers that I see that are doing really creative stuff, like, you know, collaborating with homebrewers and just kind of helping get their name out there. And even that they want to go commercial sometime, you know, it's out there. And I kind of want, like I said, that's something that's really important to me. I want to do that going forward. And Tyson at Firehop Brewworks is my first kind of step in that direction to do that.
Oh, yeah. Are you a cat owner?
I am. I have three. There's three in this house right now. One of them is, I don't know if, are you saying that because you heard like the?
No. So I was thinking of the can.
I was like, that's a weird question.
No. There is a cat right now that's like pounding on the door, wanting to come down here right now. But no. Actually, the story behind Kitty Wampus is because the first time I ever brewed this beer, it was a disaster of a brew day. Like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Like it was just a disaster, and it went cattywampus. I like the name cattywampus better. And yeah, that's how that name came to be. Just because the first time I brewed the beer, it was a shit show.
Yeah.
Can I swear on this show?
Yeah, we can do whatever we want, man.
All right, perfect. That's what I like.
You know, there is a coffee in there from a roaster that I hadn't heard of. And then, you know, part of the beer journey is learning about all these coffee roasters, right?
Sure.
Can you refresh my memory? What's the name of the coffee roaster that you had? And also, were there other coffees that you considered before you landed on that one?
Yes and no. So it's Indiro Coffee. Indiro Coffee is based out of Downtown Aurora. I initially went with them because, like I said, I brewed this beer when I used to live on the 18th floor of Leland Tower, which is a big high rise in Downtown Aurora.
Okay.
Dan at Gillerson's Grubbery, who is my, right now it's my only restaurant customer. He was one of my biggest supporters. Like I would take homebrews over there, and he would pour it like with, you know, people at the bar, and like, you know, kind of spread the word, you know, get my name out there with locals in Aurora. And right next door to him is Indiro Coffee. And then when it came time to do a coffee beer, I reached out, I talked to Cody, I took him some beer, and, you know, he liked it a lot. So he sent me home with some coffee. I played around with it. And he, like I said, he, just like Dan, you know, became a huge supporter of mine. You know, he became like a cheerleader. Obviously, he doesn't gain anything by promoting beer when he owns a coffee shop. But like, he, like I said, he became a big promoter and a big, you know, a really good friend of mine. And also too, like the story with Indiro, there's a lot more to Indiro too. I don't know how familiar you are with them, if at all. No. But so they employ all the farmers. Like they don't just buy coffee from a distributor like other places do. They literally employ the farmers in Uganda. They are the highest paid farmers in Uganda. You know, they send back up, you know, so they are consistently the highest paid. They send back like profits from that to kind of help build the community, enrich the farmers' lives. Like they're giving back a lot to the families that essentially help Indiro succeed. There's actually two locations in Africa, and then they have and this is their one and only U.S. location. So it's a really cool company, they're doing a lot of good in the world. You know, I wanted to kind of help them out. When it came time to scale it up, though, you know, Cody's a busy guy. He didn't respond to me immediately. I kind of started shopping around for other coffees. But, like, the thing with this beer is, like, this beer is specifically – it's not just, like, a Imperial Porter recipe that I just threw coffee into, like, it's literally built around the flavor profile of this specific coffee. So, like, this coffee is very chocolatey, very earthy. It's not bitter. It's very smooth. And the base beer for this is, it matches that perfectly. So I literally tailored this beer around that coffee. So switching to another, it's not that I don't want to switch to another coffee company, but it's literally made for this coffee. So I took kind of a backwards approach to that. And I think that's for that reason, you know, Endero is the only option. And I'm happy that that's the only option.
Nice. How'd you do the coffee? Did you cold brew? Did you espresso? We've seen like dark matter gets involved. They often try to do some crazy stuff. Or did you just brew coffee and go that way?
Can't give out all my secrets.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. It's whole beans. It's whole beans just right in the fermenter. I don't do the cold brew thing. I've tried ground. I've tried blending in cold brew. I've tried crushing. And honestly, I think this is what works best for my beers. I noticed that the coffee tends to hold up a little bit nicer too by doing it the way that I do it.
Cool.
So yeah, nothing too crazy. Just literally whole beans right into the beer.
Right on.
Nice.
That's cool, man. Yeah, me and Brad pound a lot of coffee. So, and I hadn't heard of Endero, but everywhere I go, you pick up little like, oh, like I think, where were you, Brad? You were at that place by, DYB, by District Brew Yards. On tour, you were at On Tour, and they sell a particular coffee brand in there. Yeah. And it's like, the more beer we drink, the more we're exposed to these different coffee brands.
Well, on my desk from this morning, I have some dark matter cans of the vanilla shrubs. So,
no, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy how that works. And I hope that works out in the same manner for Endero. They deserve all the love in the world. But yeah, if it wasn't for breweries, I probably wouldn't never have heard of Intelligentsia, you know, or I live in the suburbs. So I live in Aurora and now in Plainfield. So like, I probably wouldn't buy Dark Matter if it wasn't for, you know, all the beers that Dark Matter has been featured in. I don't know how to pronounce it, Ghost or Ghost Coffee Roasters in New Lenox, but like they did a collaboration with Arrowhead. And they did like a vanilla, they took their vanilla porter and soaked the beans in it. And I'm not sure how the process works, but, that was a killer beer. And I know about them now through Arrowhead. And now they did a collaboration with Jepson's Bourbon. They did bourbon barrel aged coffee. And I think that's on sale right now. And again, I wouldn't know about them if it wasn't for these types of things. So yeah, it's cool how that works. And I try to bring that into, I think it establishes a good sense of community as well. Like, obviously, I'm very Aurora proud. And, you know, I feature Aurora Coffee. My cupcake series is a collaboration with Small Cakes Aurora. So that's obviously just the beginning. You know, I want to do more like that. I want to brew beers that essentially, they'll down the road, give proceeds to Aurora charities. You know, I want to do more and kind of build a sense of community with my around foreign exchange and beer does fun stuff like that.
That's awesome. So what's next? Is it just brewing more stuff, opening your own place?
Like I said, we've got a double IPA palette, which is coming in the next couple weeks. We got the sour IPA with Firehop Brewworks. We've got a big Imperial Stout that is a collaboration with Whiskey Hill. It's going to be released at Whiskey Hill, I believe in bottles. And then, like I said, I'm bringing my own big burly stout, my first stout. It's going to push the limits of Church Street's Brewhouse for sure.
I'm sure Nick's lady Afro Beer Chick will be happy. She's not a big porter fan, so you know, the stout.
I mean, that porter's right on the it's dancing on that line between porter and stout. Kitty Wampus, they've told me that Kitty Wampus is the biggest beer they've ever brewed at Church Street. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, so I'm like, all right, so you guys haven't even seen my stout recipe yet. That's gonna be interesting. So we had to change the recipe a little bit to adapt to their brewery, to their brew house on this beer. So I can't even imagine what the stout's going to be like. That's going to be a fun brew day. Apart from that, I'm very close to having my own place. So I'm hoping in the next few weeks to sign a lease. I will announce something on social media when I do. And at that point, things are going to get very real.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you are purchasing the Roundhouse out in Aurora?
Two brothers is thrown in the towel.
You know, I've heard some buzz about that actually, but I can't discuss that. But you guys are gonna need to buy a lot more Kitty Wampus if I'm gonna be able to afford the Roundhouse. So you guys need to get on that.
I don't know. Didn't two brothers get it for like a dollar or something, right?
That's what I heard.
That story, Nick.
Yeah, right. I heard they got it for like a dollar and they got a bunch of money too, or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, Canes and Convicts bought Ballast Point, man. All bets are off at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I'm definitely an advocate of being able of walking, crawling before I can run, you know? So I'm probably not going to happen.
2020, no rules.
Give me like 5 years.
Oh, that's awesome. So, social media, that's the best place for people to kind of see what you're doing, what's coming up, and announcements, like new place.
Yeah. I regret to say that I neglect Twitter quite a bit. It's just not very fun. But yeah, Facebook and Instagram are the ways to get a hold of me, the best ways to get a hold of me. It's just at Foreign Exchange Brewing. Foreignexchangebrewing.com we have actually a map. The most common question I get is where can I find your beer? We actually have a really nice and pretty up-to-date map of all of our retail partners on foreignexchangebrewing.com. So if anyone has no idea where to find Foreign Exchange beers, head to the website. But otherwise, yeah, I'm a in a previous life, I was a photographer, previous career. So I love Instagram. So Instagram stories. If you want to like really be on top of things, follow me on Instagram. Otherwise, the majority of the quote unquote press releases go on Facebook. But Instagram is the way to go.
Awesome. We'll be sure to link them all up here when we post this. And then Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass. We're always posting photos of us drinking at home lately. But new beers going up all the time as we get deliveries or pickups or hunt down some new releases. And yeah, new episodes going up all the time. Ricky, thanks for joining us. This was great.
So, Brad, for the people that are here that know me, yeah. And maybe not, it might not know you guys, where can the guys find you?
Oh, yeah, I'm at BRAD on Twitter and Instagram, and I am very easy to find.
Let me rephrase the question. Where can the guys find Chicago Beer Pass?
Oh, yeah, the website chicagobeerpass.com. Like, there's usually links to everything. The show is available on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and then our Instagram. We're posting all around at Chicago Beer Pass, and then Nick and I are mostly in the city, so usually on the northwest side. Nick goes down to the south side and does that scene quite a bit.
Yeah, man. This was really cool, man. Much continued success. I saw the glasses in a liquor store recently, by the way. Those look fab.
Yeah, so, nice.
Like when you say recently, like in the past couple of days?
Yeah, like this week, yeah.
If you like announce that, I'm sure somebody will be very happy because – those sold out in like minutes in a lot of places, and people have been asking me where to find them. So if you know of a store or a honey hole that has them and you feel like sharing, by all means, give them a shout out.
Buy them up and flip them.
Or buy them up and sell them on the secondary market.
I like this. I like this pair here, man. This is these cats are on it, man.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks for listening. Take care.
No problem. Take care.